Jesus Christ, it is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. Now, today is the Lunar New Year. We celebrate the Year of the Dog. Yes, that's why my topic this morning is the K9 Year, the Year of the Dog. So naturally, I will be talking about dogs this morning. Yes. Now, a good number of years ago, before my wife and I came to Australia, we adopted a dog, and we adopted a two-year-old German Shepherd from the SPCA in Singapore. Now, this dog was a reject. It was actually bred to be a police dog, but it was rejected by the police. You know why? Because it failed the gun test. So it was rejected. And then it was adopted by a church organization because the church thought that the acquisition of that dog will protect the church property. But according to the administrators of the church, the dog posed more a nuisance than a help. And so they rejected the dog. And the dog was then taken away by the SPCA. Now, my wife and I heard about this dog, and we said, maybe we should go and have a look at this dog and see whether it was adoptable or not. And so we went, and then we saw this dog. As far as my wife was concerned, it was love at first sight. But I was totally indifferent because I never was a dog lover. But this dog that we adopted finally proved to be such a good dog that eventually she won over my heart. But really, the question is, did she deserve to be adopted by us? Did she? Yes. Now remember, she was a reject. Nobody wanted her. So actually, she didn't deserve to be adopted by us because we didn't owe the dog anything. The dog didn't do us any special favor at all. There was no need for us to do her any favor at all. And then could we have chosen other dogs? Of course we could have, but we chose this dog. You ask, why? Why did we choose this dog? The answer is very simple. It was simply out of grace. The dog didn't deserve any favor from us. It was simply out of grace. That is what is meant by grace. No, yes, grace is showing a very special favor. So we showed this favor to this dog, a favor which she didn't deserve at all. And actually, by adopting her, we committed ourselves to look after her for the rest of her life. And that was what we did. And I believe we gave her a very, very good life. There were times when she was sick, and we brought her to the vet to see the vet. And of course, we tried to give her as good food as we possibly could afford. Now, that, I would say, in a very, very little or small way, reflects God, how God deals with us. God deals with us in accordance to His grace. But God's grace is far, far or infinitely greater than the kind of grace that we showed to this dog that we finally adopted. You see, we do not deserve any good from God at all. What we deserve from God is His wrath because we have sinned against Him. We were His enemies. Now, people don't like to hear the word sin. Yes, but friends, as far as God is concerned, sin is sin. We don't like to use the word sin, but the fact is sin in God's sight. Now, sin, what is sin? Sin simply means the breaking of God's laws. So, if you have told a lie, you have broken God's law, you have lied, you are a liar. So, if you have cheated, you are a cheat in God's sight. If you have committed adultery, you are an adulterer in God's sight. Not just in the eyes of the law of the country, but you are an adulterer in the sight of the one true living God. And if you have committed murder, you are a murderer in the sight of God. And then, friends, let us understand, no matter how hard we try, we can never, ever reach the standard of righteousness that God requires us to have to enter into heaven, no matter how hard we try. So God says, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. And He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what does that mean, to come short of the glory of God? Well, there are not many Aussies here. I was hopeful that we would have some Aussies here so I could use this illustration. But never mind, let me try to use this illustration. Hopefully you will understand this illustration. You know, Australians love to play cricket. Now, let's say one day there is a big offer of a big price, all right, of $1 billion for anyone who could hit a cricket ball over a distance of 500 meters. All right, that's a long, long distance, 500 meters. Now, so the Australian cricketers are, of course, interested to win that prize, and so they try their very, very best to hit the ball over a 500-meter distance. But, you know, as much as they would try, they can never hit the 500-meter mark. The best cricketer here, the strongest cricketer here, can hit the ball over a distance of about 120 meters. That's all. And we're talking about 500 meters. Now, I went into the net and tried to find out what was the longest distance ever achieved. Now, according to the net, there was this guy from Pakistan who was able to hit a ball over a distance of 157 meters. But still, that was well short of the 500 meters that we are talking about. So, my dear friends, the truth is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter how hard we try, we can never reach God's standard of righteousness for us to enter into heaven. The truth is, my dear friends, we have sinned against God, and we are separated from the one true living God. And being separated from Him, we are spiritually dead. Yes, spiritually dead. We do not have spiritual life in us. And if we are spiritually dead and we do not have spiritual life in us, when we pass away from this earth, we head straight for eternal hell. But there is good news, my dear friends. And this good news comes from none other than the one true living God Himself. Yes, He loves us. He's full of grace. Remember we talked about what grace is? Grace is unmerited favor. He is full of grace. He knows we can't get into heaven by our own effort, by our own strength, by our own wisdom. So He sent His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for us. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe in Him, you have everlasting life. God loved us so much, He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to pay for our sins. So that today, if we were to believe in Him, my dear friends, straight away, we will be adopted into God's family. We become God's children. Yes, if we believe that He died for us, shed His precious blood for us, if we were to repent from our sins, we will be adopted into God's family. Now let's come back to this dog that we adopted this dog many years ago. Now, as our dog, it must show that it was our dog. That's obvious, right? Our dog, so it must show that it was our dog. It must show how faithful it was to me. Now, generally speaking, dogs are faithful. Now, when we say that a person is faithful, what we mean is that the person is devoted, the person is dependable, and the person is trustworthy. That's what we mean. Now, I dare say that this dog of ours was pretty faithful to me. Now, I'm sure you dog owners can relate to what can relate to my experience. I think I ever said this before. Yes, this dog of mine seemed to have a built-in clock in her. Every evening, she knew roughly what time I was going to come back. Well, I think she probably knew the exact time I was coming back. So every evening, without fail, she would go to the back room of our apartment, and from the back room of our apartment, she would look into the car park. And she could see me walking from my car to the apartment. And my wife told me that the moment she heard the sound of the engine of my car, she would become very frantic. She would rush up and down between the back room to the main door and from the main door back to the room again. And she would do that many times until I came through the door. And she would wag her tail until it nearly fell off. Yes. Now, and she would do that without fail every evening. Now, that was how faithful my dog was. Now, I read about this beautiful story about this little dog that followed its owner to the city of Edinburgh in Scotland. Now, this dog was very, very loyal to the master, so much so that wherever the master went, the dog would follow. Then one day, the master passed away. Then hardly anyone noticed this little dog that followed the mourners to the graveyard. And after all the mourners had left the graveyard, this little dog then climbed onto the top of the grave of the master and sat on the top of the grave. And she sat there, and she didn't leave her position as much as possible. Yes, and not just for one day, not just for a few days, not just for a few weeks, not only just for a few months, but for years. Passers-by felt so sorry for this dog, and so they fed this dog, and they gave water to this dog. And she did that for 12 long years until the day it died. Yes. My dear friends, what do you call that? That's faithfulness. Now, as I think of the faithfulness of a dog, I think of our own faithfulness to the one true living God. Now, if we have been truly adopted into God's family, remember we are talking about adoption, right? If we truly have been adopted into God's family, we must show this adoption to be true. How? By our faithfulness to Him. The question is, am I faithful or am I not faithful to Him? Now, I don't want us to go away thinking that believing in Jesus is easy believism. You know, some people think that if I need, when I go to be a believer, what I need to do is just go to a gospel meeting, raise up my hand, and say, I believe in Jesus, and that's all. No, my dear friends, that's easy believism. Okay? Now, believing in Jesus means that we must necessarily be faithful to Him. So the question is, are we or are we not faithful to the one true living God? And how do we show our faithfulness to Him? We show our faithfulness to Him by not being ashamed of Him. Even though we might be laughed at, even though we might be ridiculed, even though we might be isolated, and then in public, we show that we are not ashamed of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by giving thanks for the food that the Lord has given to us. And then we will not be ashamed to give the gospel to people, to our friends, yes, to our loved ones, to people whom we meet along the streets. Now, when I look at the faithfulness of my dog to me, I think it is not unfair to say that if my faithfulness to my God, my master, is only one-tenth the faithfulness my dog has for me, my dear friends, I think I will be 10 times more willing, more daring to share the gospel, 10 times more daring to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. I dare say that. Indeed, my dog's faithfulness puts me to shame when I compare her faithfulness to me to the faithfulness that I have for my God. How faithful are we to the one true living God, our Master? Now, I have to stress on faithfulness to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus gives us this warning. He says this to us in Matthew 10:32-33. All right, our friends, if you like, please refer to the two verses. It is printed on the sheet that was given out to you. If you have received the sheet containing the verses, it's Matthew 10:32-33. All right. Let's read these two verses together. Matthew 10:32-33. Let's read. Go. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. If we confess him, he will confess us before the Heavenly Father. If we deny him, he will deny us before the Heavenly Father. So you see the need for us to confess him. And indeed, my dear friends, if we have been adopted into God's family, we must necessarily confess him. Next, for my dog to be my dog, it has to be an obedient dog. Obedient to me. Now, it's quite amazing to see the obedience of dogs that I meet in the neighborhood here. Now, did you notice I said I met the dogs? I didn't talk about meeting the owners. It's very strange. Every time I meet a man with a dog, I talk to the dog more than I talk to the man, I think. All right. Now, with the experience I had with my dog, I should think that I'm well able to issue a command to a dog. Yes, because I owned a dog for 10 years, I was quite familiar with the behavior of a dog. So very often when I meet a dog here along the street in the evening when I go out for my walk, I will say hello to the dog, and then I'll say, come here. You know what? The dog doesn't care two hoots about me. I can say, come here, I can shout at the dog. The dog doesn't bother about me. But the moment the owner says, come, you see, the dog runs to the owner right away. You see, the dog hears the voice of its master. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, if we truly belong to the Lord, if we have been adopted by Him, we will hear His voice. We will obey His laws. We will obey what He says in His word. Now, there are people here in Australia who think that they are believers. They think that they are Christians. But friends, the truth is, their life consists of nothing but what is known as a hatched, patched, and dispatched relationship with the church. When they are born, or when a person is born, yes, the parents will bring the person to the church to be baptized. So when the person is hatched, that's the first experience or first relationship that the person has with the church. Then the next relationship that the person has with the church is when the person gets patched. When the person gets married, alright, he goes to the church and he gets married in the church, alright, he's patched. And then the third relationship that the person gets is when the person passes away. And that relationship is, of course, a posthumous relationship. In other words, it takes place only after the person has passed away. So only when he's dispatched. So the kind of experience or the spiritual life that the person has is actually a hatched, patched, and dispatched relationship with the church. Such a person may think that he's a Christian, but he is not. He's not a believer. Now, if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been adopted into God's family, first we said, you must really be faithful to Him. Number two, you must be living a life of obedience to Him. Very necessary. Now, for my dog to be my dog, talking about this dog that I adopted, for my dog to be my dog, it must know how to bark, and to bark for me. Yes, not just to bark, but to bark for me. Now, we might think that it is very instinctive that a dog would bark, but that is not necessarily the case. My friend acquired a German Shepherd. The Shepherd was supposed to be a guard dog for him, but the dog didn't bark or was not able to bark. So my friend decided to send this dog to a training school to learn how to bark. After a few days of training, the trainer came back and said to my friend, he said, your dog cannot be educated. He doesn't know how to bark. He cannot be trained how to bark. Yes. So what point was he to continue to own the dog? There was no point at all. Yes. Now, if I were he, I would disown the dog, because I own the dog for the purpose of guarding me, guarding my property. My dog is not able to bark. Then I might as well disown the dog. Thankfully, my dog knew how to bark, and he learned how to bark for me. Now, when we first got her, she was not discerning enough. She couldn't tell between friends, or she couldn't tell between friends and strangers. She couldn't. Sometimes there were strangers whom she was supposed to bark at, but she didn't bark. There was one instance I remember very clearly. There were some very rowdy young boys, you know, they were in their teens, who were making a nuisance of themselves outside the perimeter fence of our apartment complex. They were making a lot of noises. My dog heard those noises, but she kept lying down. She just couldn't be bothered with them. It wasn't that she didn't see them. I think she probably saw them also. I couldn't stake it. So I went, whispered into her ears. I said, go, Handy, go, 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 softly. And she ran. And she barked her head off. I was very, very thankful that she did it. Yes. And then as of that day, she would bark whenever strangers came to our place. But then I had to teach her that there were those who were friends. So when I said, friends, friends, she was to keep quiet and down. And she did. Every time I said, friends, she would quiet and down. So my dog must know how to bark, and my dog must know how to bark for me. Now, what do you call a dog that is not able to bark? We talked about it last week. What kind of dog? A dog not able to bark. A dog that is not able to bark is a dumb dog. Did you realize that? And that is the description God has for these kind of dogs. Not able to bark. They are dumb dogs. Actually, God was referring to the religious leaders in those days in the land of Israel. Yes, they were appointed to be his watchmen to guard over God's people. And God has to say this about them. If you look at the verses in the printed page, yes, Isaiah 56, and verse 10 to 11. His watchmen are blind. The watchmen were the religious leaders. They are blind, possibly the priests or the so-called prophets. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. You see, God called them dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Here they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They have shepherds they cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Now, these were the religious leaders of the day. They were supposed to bark for God, to warn people of God's judgment, to warn the people concerning the threats by their enemies, their spiritual enemies. But no, they didn't bark for the one true living God. They were useless dogs. As far as God was concerned, they were dumb dogs. My dear friends, I ask you, do you prefer a preacher that barks or a preacher that doesn't bark? Now, I trust, my dear friends, you do not say, oh, we want a preacher that doesn't bark, one that speaks smooth things to us, one that will say things that will scratch my itching ears. Now, if the dog does not bark and he does not warn you about spiritual perils, he doesn't warn you about the wrath of God, he doesn't warn you about the need to repent, and he only wants to make you feel good, my dear friends, understand this truth. I say, he is a dumb dog in the sight of God. He has absolutely no interest in your spiritual well-being. What he's interested in is his own well-being. Yes, he's only nothing but a professional preacher. Understand this truth. So I trust, my dear friends, that you truly are very, very wanting to have a preacher that always barks. Now, if you belong to God's family, if you have been adopted into God's family, you must want that kind of preacher, a preacher who will bark for the Lord. But, friends, understand this truth. A dumb dog will be held responsible for his dumbness. If he doesn't bark, and if his flock gets destroyed, the blood of the flock will be upon his head. Now, this is the warning given by the one true living God to all spiritual leaders, those under your charge. If they are harmed spiritually, their blood will be upon your head. Understand this truth. So all pastors, all spiritual leaders, all deacons, all elders, all Sunday school teachers, those who have people under their charge, remember this truth. You are held accountable for them. Should anything happen to them that is spiritually damaging to them, my dear friends, you are held accountable because you didn't warn them enough. Now, friends, parents, if you profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you profess that you have been adopted into God's family, do you have spiritual responsibilities for your children? Answer, yes, of course. You have spiritual responsibilities for your children. So, what have you done? What have you done to make sure that your children are adequately warned against spiritual enemies, warned against the wrath of God, warned against the spiritual perils that they are in? What have you done? Have you done enough, friends? And then, by your life example, are you leading your children closer to the Lord? And do you have family worship in the home? You are the spiritual leader. You have been given this spiritual responsibility. You are God's watchman, my dear friends. Let not yourself be a dumb dog, but make sure that you bark for the Lord to protect your family members against spiritual harm. Then all of us here, all who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, do we have spiritual responsibilities for our siblings, for our loved ones, or for our friends? Do we or do we not have? Yes, no. Of course, yes, we have spiritual responsibilities for them. Let us never say, I'm not my brother's keeper. I'm not my sister's keeper. I'm not my friend's keeper. My dear friends, we are. If we belong to God, we are. If we are members of His family. Yes, we are to be God's watchmen, particularly to those who are very, very close to us. We know the truth. We know the way of salvation, but these people might not know the way of salvation. So friends, God wants us to bark, and God wants us to bark for Him, to warn people against the spiritual peril that they are in, the kind of a destination that they are heading for if they do not repent from their sins. Remember, my dear friends, we will be held accountable. Now, can you imagine yourself appearing before the judgment seat one day, and God asks you, "Was Tom your very good friend?" He said, "Yes, he was my very good friend." And the Lord says, "Did you bark and warn him of hellfire?" And he said, "No, Lord, I didn't do that." "Why not?" You say, "Because, Lord, I was ashamed of you." My dear friends, let that not be the case with us. Let us bark for the Lord. They say barking dogs don't bite. True or false? Barking dogs don't bite. Now, generally speaking, that is true. Most dogs actually are extremely friendly. You do not know, but they are actually very friendly. They can look very, very fierce, you know, but they look very friendly. They look very fierce, but they are actually very friendly. Yes. So they bark. Usually they bark, but they don't bite. Now, it is good that we own dogs that bark, that don't bite. But some dogs are very vicious. They bark, and they are really very vicious also. Now, there was this neighbor of ours who had a big dog that was very vicious. So vicious that one day it bit the toddler son of this neighbor of ours, and inflicted a wound that required 14 stitches to patch up the wound. Yes. Well, that was bad, of course. And could the owner continue to own that dog? If you were with the owner, would you continue to own the dog? The answer is no, of course. So he had to put the dog down. So, my dear friends, there is no business for us to be vicious, no business for us to be malicious if we truly belong to God, if truly we have been adopted into His family. Now, the next characteristic of dogs. My dog, like other dogs, was very good at sniffing. All right. Now, the dog's ability to discern things by smelling can vary something like from 10,000 times to a few million times greater than that of human beings, so the experts say. In other words, their sense of smell is so great that they can smell out things a few million times better than we do. That's how powerful they are able to sense things, to smelling. Yes, that is why dogs are made use of for sniffing up bombs and drugs and other illegal stuff. My dog, unfortunately, was so good at sniffing that it would sniff up rotten meat and rotten bones. Sometimes, when we brought her to the park, she would rush very, very quickly to a spot, and then she would use a paw to dig up whatever is in the ground. And sometimes she would dig up rotten meat and rotten bones. You know, what would she do next? Guess what? She ate them. She ate them. And of course, she became sick. She ate them and she became sick. Now, could I stop her from doing that? Impossible. All right. So the only way is we just kept her on the leash. That's all. Now, it's true, our physical sniffing ability is far, far inferior to that of dogs. I'm talking about physical ability to sniff. But if we have been adopted into God's family and are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us the ability to sniff out spiritual things, and He gives us the ability to discern between good and bad. You see, when we are adopted into God's family, He gives us a new nature. Yes, He gives us a new nature. And this new nature is able to sense or sniff out spiritual things and be able to discern between good and bad. Because when we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us this new nature, and Jesus comes and resides in us. And He is the one who enables us to discern between good and bad. And how does He do it? Of course, He does it through His Word. Yes, the Word. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, Yes, if you have the sheet, you have Psalm 119:105, just one verse. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet, unto my feet, and a light unto my path. So his word shows us what is right, it shows us what is wrong. Yes. So we must read God's word, hide God's word in our heart. It will enable us to discern what is good and what is bad. And Jesus, who indwells us, will give us the ability to receive what is right and to reject what is bad. Now, supposing we were to sniff out something that is bad, and then we receive that bad thing. Now, how would we feel if we were true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? I can tell you that if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, adopted into his family, we'll feel very, very guilty about it. And we will want to quickly repent of our sins. And we will want our relationship, our fellowship with the one true living God restored immediately. If we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, adopted into his family. Now my dog, like any dog, was a greedy dog, alright, greedy. Now because dogs are greedy, they are very easy to train. You just have to bribe the dog. Actually, you bribe the dog, you can cause the dog to do many things. And you can even, you know, there are two methods of training a dog how to attack. Did you know that? One is to stir the dog, make the dog very, very angry until the dog would bite. But there is another method, and I saw that being done in Singapore by one young Aussie lady. She was training the dog how to enjoy things and so forth. And she told me this, I can train the dog to enjoy attacking by bribing the dog. And that was what she said she could do. But friends, I was telling you about this greed of the dog, yes. But some types of greed of the dog are simply not acceptable. Yes, not acceptable at all. One day, I think I told you this, right? One day, I prepared two pieces of steak. One for my wife and one for myself. And then I placed the two pieces of steak on the kitchen counter because I came home early that day. My wife was coming home late. So I prepared dinner. I put the two pieces of steak on the counter, kitchen countertop. And my wife had called me to go and pick her up. And where she was only 2 minutes away from my home. So I drove out. And when we came back after 2 minutes, what happened? One piece was missing. Who ate it? Of course this dog of mine, the greedy dog of mine. I was so very angry with her, I had to punish her. Yes, that piece didn't belong to her. She was guilty of two things. Number one, covetousness. And the other one, thou shall not steal. Theft. Covetousness and theft. Friends, are we human beings not greedy? My dear friends, we are. We may not be greedy where food is concerned, but we may be greedy of other things. And the Lord warns us against greed. Yes, it's given to us in the commandment of the Lord in Exodus 20 verse 17. Exodus 20 verse 17. Okay, it's found in the printed sheet also. Alright, let's read that verse together. Exodus 20 verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. My dear friends, when we long to have things or possessions that do not belong to us, that belong to our neighbor, and we want them for ourselves, my dear friends, that is covetousness. Let's be very, very careful. And just as I chastise my dog, my dear friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and we are greedy, my dear friends, God will chastise us. But as I said, if we have been adopted into God's family through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have a new nature. Did you realize that? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are born again. You have a new nature. Which means, my dear friends, if you choose not to be greedy, you are able not to be greedy. Do you realize that? Because of the new nature that the Lord has given to us. So, my dear friends, we must let the Lord control us to help us, if we truly belong to Him, not to be greedy. Finally, I want to talk about the humility of a dog. Now, in all the years that I owned my dog, there was never a time when my dog was very proud in relating with me. Yes, it never turned its nose at me. She never thought that she was cleverer than I was. Of course she could outrun me. And if she outran me and ran ahead of me, she didn't look back and say, "Hey, why are you so slow?" She never did that. And she could jump through three hoops. She could do that, jump through three hoops. But after she jumped through three hoops, she never looked back and said, "Hey, why don't you try jumping through one?" She never did that. What she wanted was my approval. That's all she wanted. Yes, she just would come to me and she wanted my approval. You see how humble the dog was. Now, I'd like to talk about this humility a little bit. If you were to focus your attention to the passage that our chairman read for us earlier on, or at the beginning when we did our responsive reading. Matthew chapter 15, verses 22-28. Let me read that passage again. Verse 22, let me read that. "And behold, a woman of Canaan come out of the same coast and cried unto him." A woman of Canaan, she obviously was not a Jewess, a Gentile, "came out of the same coast and cried unto Jesus, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.'" What it means is her daughter was demon-possessed. "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.'" As far as the disciples were concerned, this woman was a nuisance. So they asked the Lord, "Lord, send her away, send her away." But verse 24, "But he answered the woman and said, 'I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" In other words, the Lord told this woman, "I came to minister to the Jews and not to the non-Jews." Verse 25, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.'" In other words, what I come, the benefits I'm going to give are for the Jews and not for the Gentiles. Yes, but you know what this woman said, verse 27. "And she said, 'Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is thy faith, be unto thee even as thou wilt.' And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Now the dogs that are spoken of here are pet dogs. They are not stray dogs, alright, pet dogs. But even if they are pet dogs, they don't sit at the master's table. The master's table are for the children of the house, not for dogs. But dogs are humble enough to go under the table to pick out the crumbs. And this woman was willing to identify herself with those dogs. Friends, that is exactly what we must do when we come before the Lord. We have actually nothing to offer to the Lord. Did you realize that? Nothing. We are no better than dogs. We have to acknowledge that we are not worthy to be called His children. We must be willing to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and realize that we must have faith like that of a little child, willing to humble ourselves if we want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, my dear friends, at the start of this lunar year of the dog, let us learn from this wonderful creature known as man's best friend. The dog is faithful to its master. Like the dog, we must be faithful to our master. If we truly belong to him, we must be faithful to him. And we show our faithfulness to him by our courage, our willingness to confess him publicly. Now, as his dog, my dear friends, we must be barking dogs. Yes, not just any dog, but barking dogs. And let us bark for him to warn people of God's judgment and warn people of the spiritual perils that they are in. But let us bark, but not bite. If we truly belong to the Lord, we must not bite. In other words, if we truly belong to him, we must not be vicious, we must not be malicious. Then, as the dog is good at sniffing, let us also be good at sniffing spiritual things. Now, if we have been adopted into God's family, God has given us this ability to sniff out spiritual things. And he gives us this spiritual discernment through his word. So we must read his word, know his word, so that we are able to discern between right and wrong. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who indwells us, gives us this ability to discern between what is right and what is wrong. Now then, if we ever sniff out something bad and then we receive it, my dear friends, let us quickly repent of our sins and let our fellowship with the one true living God be quickly restored. Then the dog is greedy, but God's children cannot be greedy. We must not be greedy if we belong to him. And the Lord has given us the ability not to be greedy, because he has given us a new nature. He indwells us. If we choose not to be greedy, we are able not to be greedy, because he enables us not to be greedy. And remember, the dog is never proud. It is always willing to humble itself under the mighty hand, or willing to humble itself under the hand of its master. Like the dog, my dear friends, we must always be willing to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And if we truly want to come into the kingdom of God, if we are not believers yet, my dear friends, we must be willing to humble ourselves. We must have minds like that of a little child for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now let's come back to the day when my wife and I went to adopt this dog. Now let's say, think of this situation. We went there, we signed the papers, we said that we want to adopt this dog. Then we brought the dog to the car, opened the car door and said, "Come on, doggy, get in. Come on, get in." The dog refused to get in. Then I released the dog and tried to pull the dog in, but the dog snarled at us, it bared its teeth, and wanted to bite us. My dear friends, could we adopt the dog? Of course we could not adopt the dog, because the dog was simply unwilling to get into the car. My dear friends, it's the same. Today, the gospel is presented to you. Yes, you are invited to be adopted into God's kingdom. But if you choose not to be adopted, God is not going to force you to be adopted. So the choice is yours, my dear friends. Yes, you have the responsibility to make the decision to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior and be adopted into his family. The question is whether you're willing or you're not willing. So if you're willing this morning, why don't you come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior? Believe on him, repent of your sins, receive him into your heart, and tell him to acknowledge him as your master of your life. My dear friends, he will gladly come into your heart and be your master and be your Lord and be your Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your goodness and kindness. We thank you that there was a day in our life when you very, very graciously adopted us into your family. We thank you, O Lord God, for the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he shed his precious blood to save us. O Lord, this morning we pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, who have not experienced the cleansing flow of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have not been adopted into his family yet. Father, we pray this morning that you will be very gracious to them, to move their hearts so that they will come to believe Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that you will be with us in a very special way today, and we pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, that they may not wait any longer, but come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.